Amen. Praise God and welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Campbell, your host, and I thank you all for listening and being with us on today. Our topic for today is an attitude of gratitude. So if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we will be coming from a couple of different scriptures. We'll be basing some scriptures on Matthew, the 5th chapter, and then some on Philippians, the 4th chapter. But again, our topic is an attitude of gratitude. So I hope and pray that everyone is able to gain something from our topic on this afternoon. So again, we're going to get ready to have a word of prayer. We ask that you bow with us at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for your many blessings. We thank you, God, for how you've kept us, God, and how you continue to just watch over us and shine your mercy and your grace upon us, oh Lord. We pray now, God, that you forgive us, God, for all of our sins, for everything that we've done, God, that's not like you. God, forgive us for sins of commission and omission. God, we pray now that you continue to cleanse us and wash us, Lord, and help us to be more like you. We pray now, God, for all of our listeners, God, and we ask that you send a special blessing, God, upon them right now, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray now, God, that you touch them, God, heal the sick, God, deliver those that need to be set free, God. We pray now, God, that you encourage our hearts on today, O Lord. We pray, God, that you send your word, God, so that your people may have an understanding and be more enlightened about who you are and the characteristics and what it means to be Christ-like. In Jesus' name, God, we ask these blessings and we thank you in advance. Amen. Well, again, as you know, Eve's Corner is a show to enlighten and empower and encourage God's people. So one of the things that we will be talking about today is our attitudes and having an attitude of gratitude. What does it mean to have an attitude of gratitude? What does that look like? We're going to talk about some of those character traits, and that'll be coming from the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter, as I stated. And our guest for today is Pastor Nick Glenn. He is the pastor of Pleasant Hill Church in Hickman, Kentucky, and he has been with us before. Pastor Nick, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you all. It's so wonderful to be with you again today.
Amen. Amen. Glad that you're here. So for our listeners, we definitely want you to call in and share with us on today, whether you want to share your testimonies, whether you want to talk about how God has helped you in changing your attitude and helping you to have a mindset that's more Christ-like. You can call in, and that number is 888-627-6008. Again, that number to call in and chat with us is 888-627-6008. That is our call-in line. So you can call in at any time throughout the show to voice your opinion or to ask a question. Or, you know, if you're seeking prayer and agreement for a specific area of your life, then you can call into that number as well. So one of the things about gratitude, it's the quality of being thankful. It's a readiness to show appreciation. And one thing I like about the Lord is that he allows us to sow seeds. And I thank God for the law of the seed, because gratitude is actually the seed for more. The more thankful we are, the more that we show praises unto God, the more that he blesses us with more. Pastor Nick, what do you think about that?
I think it's right on point, because we have to show that attitude that we appreciate what we're receiving.
Absolutely.
It also goes through that.
One of the things about being even a natural parent is that when you're a father or a mother, you don't mind continuing to shower down blessings and do things for your children when they're thankful.
Exactly. Yes.
When they have a thankful heart, we need to talk about what that looks like. One of the things about being thankful, even as a child, is that it's verbally communicated. Mm-hmm. We teach our children to say thank you even when they're 1 and 2 years old, when you hand them something.
Yes.
We teach them, okay, say thank you. Is that not right, Pastor Nick? I know that you're a parent.
I am a parent of three sons, and one of the things that we got started early for them was, you know, you say thank you. And then, of course, the reinforcement of if you don't say thank you, well, now we have to have a teaching moment about why you should say thank you. And then that extends from outside of the home. So when you go, you're in the grocery store, the supermarket, that you're practicing those same traits with individuals that you come across. Say thank you. Somebody holds the door. And show their gratitude for what they've done, because they did not have to do what they did.
That's right. And along those same lines, God does not have to do it, but he does. Everything that he does for us is not because he has to, but it's because he wants to. He loves us just that much that he wants to do for us. So the least that we can do is say thank you. That's why there should not be any quiet church services, because if nothing else, you can tell the Lord thank you. Amen.
Exactly. Exactly. I tell my fellowship, remind them that when people from time to time will say that they go to church, wherever the church may be located, and say that it was a boring service. Well, I say, well, you must be a boring person.
That's right.
Because you bring your praise with you. If nobody else says thank you, you can say thank you.
That's right.
And you
That's
don't need
right.
anybody else to do it for you.
That's right. And we have so many things to thank God for. Now, another way that with being a good parent that we show forth gratitude, when our children show gratitude, is when they're a good steward. The last thing that we want to do as a parent is give something to a child and they don't take care of it.
Exactly.
We give them new shoes, and you run outside in what we used to call our school shoes. You know, you have to take off the school shoes and the church shoes and put on your play shoes. So as a parent, the last thing you want to see is you treating your school shoes like the play shoes. You outside in the grass and now you got green scuffs all around your toes and everything else, because you're not taking care of what it is that your daddy blessed you with, or what it is that your daddy did for you. The same thing with your room. There are a lot of children who don't have their own rooms. But, you know, as a child, to show that you are appreciative of the room that you have and the bed that you sleep in, you have to clean your room. There are just certain things that you have to do with our relationship with God as well, to show that we appreciate the things that he does, and that's taking care of what he's given us.
Because if it's okay for my children to grow out of their shoes or grow out of their pants, that's fine. But don't show up and you ripped holes in them, and you've done things that show that you have not taken care of the product, because that is going to cause me to question whether or not I want to replace that product.
You know, that's right.
But if you grow out of it, that means, well, evidently you took care of it. So I may just give you the next level of whatever it is you just grew out of.
That's right.
And it goes through that process. And I think back on being grateful. And one of the things I'm grateful for in my life is having a father in my life that the only time that I was embarrassed in public of my father was because he took the time to discipline me in front of my friends.
All right.
You know, grateful that he had that approach to it, and that I can always hold my head up high and say, that is my father.
That's right.
And that's the same way with our walk with God. We can hold our head up high and say, that is my father.
That's
right. He looks after me. He takes care of me. He tends to my needs. He holds me when I need to be held. So I'm grateful for that.
That's right. That's right. And that brings me to our next point. The other thing that it looks like when you are a person who is grateful or thankful is that you take care of daddy's business, because daddy is taking care of you. You're taking care of the things of God. You're taking care of, like I said, your home or your room. You know, if you're a young person or if you're an adult, you know, you're taking care of the car that he blessed you with, whether it's a hoopty or whether it's a Mercedes. You know, you can't get to the Mercedes if you don't know how to treat the hoopty. You can't get to the mansion if you don't know how to treat the apartment. You know, there are some experiences that come along with being on the first level before you can go to the second or third level. So then you know what to do and how to care for it. And that's what we have to do as far as taking care of God's business. We have to take care of God's people. We have to take care of each other. Yes. We have to take care of ourselves. That's taking care of God's business.
Because I feel the tug right now, and for somebody listening to here, you may be driving a car that has some character marks on it.
All right.
You know, the character marks of dings and pings and maybe some little areas that makes it not perfect. But guess what? You can still get it serviced and get the oil changed when you need to get the oil changed.
That's right.
And so that process of taking care of what you have, then it becomes me saying thank you for this piece of car getting me from point A to point B.
Yes.
Then it's already
yes.
ingrained to take care of what I have and what I get next.
Absolutely. And then what that causes you to do is my next point is you end up telling other people what Daddy has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when we're able to go and tell somebody else, brother, with that car, with those, as Pastor Nick called them, character marks on it. Brother, I know you're driving that car and you got to slide in through the other side to get in the driver's seat because the door don't open. Whatever it may be, I can tell you personally, I can tell you firsthand that I had one like that too. And God bless me. I had a hoopty and God helped me to move to the next level. I was living in a one bedroom apartment and now God has blessed me with this three bedroom house. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that God has done for you and whatever it is that Daddy does for you, just like you just mentioned about your father, we have no problem with telling somebody else about what the Lord has done. The other thing that we do, the other thing that we do when we are grateful and when we have an attitude of gratitude is we represent well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned your father embarrassing you. The one thing that we never want to do is embarrass our father. And sometimes it's unfortunate as Christians that we don't always represent well. We start to look like and act like the world. We start to talk like and walk like the world. But when you go out, you're supposed to represent Daddy. You're supposed to make Daddy look good. You're supposed to show, you know, one thing that, used to be really funny to me is that before my grandmother would take me to go somewhere to eat, we would eat at home. If the church was having something and there was a meal there, she made sure that we ate at home first. And it was because she didn't want me to go anywhere and look like I wasn't feeding her. She didn't want me to go anywhere and look like she wasn't taking care of me and doing what she was supposed to do. And, you know, it's funny. I started to do similar things when my children were small and growing up. Before we got ready to go somewhere, I made sure that I fed them. And knowing me, I would have some cookies or crackers or something else in my purse because I wanted to make sure that they didn't make me look bad. Because when you are investing in your children, the time and the love and the energy that we do invest for those at least 18 years, and for some, it may be 30. But whatever the time is that you invest into your children, the last thing you want is for them to make you look bad.
And I know with my father, in each instance of the public embarrassment, it was my fault. It was brought on by my actions. And
that's right.
And so it was my own fault that I was in that situation. So there was getting upset, no need to get mad at him. I did it to me. And
that's
he
right.
loved me enough to carry that's it right. out when it needs to get carried out.
Amen. Well, the Bible says that the Father chastens those he loves. So if he didn't love you, he wouldn't have chastened or corrected you. You know, and that's one thing for sure is I don't want to embarrass God. I don't want to wear the label of Christian and be looking like everything and everybody else. I don't want to confess that that's who I am. And then that's not what I'm doing. And that's not how I'm acting. And that's not what my clothing look like. You know, sisters, if we profess that we are godly women and representing Christ, then our body parts are not hanging out. Men, if we profess that we are a godly man and a God-fearing man, then men will take care of their families. Men will make sure that they are providing the things that are necessary for their household, because we have to be about the Father's business. We have to be who we say we are. And because you are grateful, men, to have a family or to have a wife or to have those children, and women, because you are grateful for the job that you have, you know, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. You're going to be at work on time. You're going to wear the proper clothing and nobody has to tell you, hey, your split is too high or hey, you know, your cleavage is far too low. Because you're in a professional environment, or, you know, when you are a husband or a father, you know, you're not out, you know, in the bars and in the streets and hanging out with everybody else when you should be at home with your family. Now, I'm not saying never go anywhere and watch a game or do anything or play basketball. That's certainly not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you take care of home first. Your priorities become different when you are godly. When you have an attitude that you are thankful for what God has done for you, you know, even that old rusty truck, you're going to be out there in the yard washing it.
Because
it's your rusty truck. That's
clean.
Right. You're going to keep the trash out of it because you're thankful for what it is that God has done for you. So now somebody's probably wanting to know, well, in my having an attitude of gratitude or in my being thankful, you know, does this mean that I'm supposed to walk around oblivious and don't address issues or don't address things that are going on in my life or, you know, don't correct the waitress when she clearly has brought me the wrong meal, you know, over to the table when I requested a well done steak and she's brought me this steak and it's still moving on my plate. You know, Pastor Nick, let's address that for those who think that means, you know, that we're just supposed to walk around blind and oblivious.
Yes. And with that process, a lot of people get the misconception that when I profess to be a Christian or a minister, preacher, whatever title name mm-hmm. you want to put on it, that I now have to become a doormat to anybody that's around me. Well, the actuality mm-hmm. of it is that you still have to make corrections, but with your attitude of gratitude, you do it in a way that doesn't tear up everything else around you.
That's right.
You know, as you go out, it's okay to say, excuse me, ma'am, sir, this is not my order. I ordered this. I ordered X, Y, and Z. I would like it corrected. That's fine. But what we should not do is cause the biggest scene in the place and be the loudest person in the place and mm-hmm. tearing down and chopping down whoever we're dealing with from making the mistake that they've made, because if we look at us, we've made mistakes also.
Mm-hmm.
Our mistakes
That's
may
right.
not be out in front of everyone else.
That's
but
right.
We don't want to be corrected in that way. And if we correct someone in a way that causes public embarrassment to them and now the whole spotlight is on this situation, now we have stepped into a lane that we should not be in. And
that's
if
right.
we are appreciative of what the Lord has done for us, and I appreciate the fact that the Lord looked down on me when I was in a world full of messed up decision making, and says,
"You know
what?
Right.
I'm going to reach down and pull out a preacher."
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude of gratitude says to somebody else that since God did this for me, I'm so appreciative of how He treats me, how He handles me, that I will
yes.
handle everybody else the best way I possibly can.
That's right, because we certainly don't want God to embarrass us when we mess up. You know, we don't want our foolishness to be put on display. We don't want God to show everybody else some of the things that we have done. You know, we have these secret faults and these secret sins and these things that we've gotten involved in. But for some reason, as Christians, you know, sometimes I think we want to call people out, you know, and that's not always what God is saying. You know, we're quick to tell somebody, oh, you know, that brother's drinking, you know, but you don't tell anybody about that bottle of brown liquor that you have in your closet. You know, we're quick to talk about the things that we see somebody else do publicly or the things that somebody else is not doing right, you know, but we don't want God to tell our business, you know, very, very easily. I say, you know, as we as sisters, sometimes we have grown old gracefully and we've gotten to a certain stage and, you know, we're telling these young ladies, well, you know, you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't do this. And I don't know why you do this and what's wrong with you. And we're talking real crazy, but I didn't forget how tight my jeans were. But I'm not going to tell them that, you know. So
yes.
So we have to come away from that. Everything that we do should definitely be done in love, you know. And I'm not saying, especially as parents, that, you know, we don't correct our children and say, you know, hey, daughter, you know, your cleavage is a little bit low and it looks like you're looking for something, you know, rather than what's wrong with you? You look like this and calling them out of their names and all of those things. That's not God. You can't help somebody like that, because when you start talking immediately, I want you to know that daughter, that son has shut down. They don't mm-hmm. want to hear anything you're talking about, because you're yelling and you're screaming and you're saying, I'm doing this because I love you, you know, and you completely going off. And that's not godly. That's
and
not
we
godly.
We also put undue pressure on individuals mm-hmm. when we try to, and some do it purposely, some do it, and mm-hmm. they're not doing it on purpose, but mm-hmm. to give the air that I live this perfect life, that I've always mm-hmm. had it together, that I've never made any mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have individuals that are making mistakes, that don't have mm-hmm. things together, have things falling apart around them. It leads mm-hmm. them to think, well, until I get to that level,
mm-hmm.
I'm not worth much to God. Where actually, it's the
That's
reverse.
Right. That's
we
right.
We can say, you know what, God, I need you so I can get to the next level.
Oh, yes.
I need you so I can overcome what I'm trying to overcome. I don't
mm-hmm.
need to overcome it. It didn't come to you. So
That's
we
right.
get that reverse sometimes, and it's undue pressure on individuals, especially new believers that come into churches or new members that come into a church.
Yes.
And everything's to be handled the proper way. I have a great mentor, Dr. Alvin Summers, would say, don't be a lying Christian.
Yes.
You know, be who you say you are.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things especially about people coming into the church is we run folks away with that. When we're phony and acting like we have it all together, and they come in the door and maybe their clothes are not quite right when they get there, you know, but the change has to come from the inside out.
Yeah.
So you can rest assured that if you are giving them the word and you're showing them the love of God, they change their clothes on their own because the Holy Ghost helps them to see, like, wait a minute, this might not be appropriate. Oh, maybe I don't need to wear my clothes so tight. Or maybe this split is a little bit too high in this skirt. They begin to make those changes on their own. And we don't have to bash them over the head with these king-size Bibles that we walk around with when they come in. And that makes them want to stay because you're showing them love. It makes them want to stay because you're just being an example, and you're talking to them with kindness and with gentleness and meekness because you remember, as Pastor Nick has stated, who it is that you used to be before God changed you. Now, my other point is that sometimes now we think that, well, I'm just grateful. That means to just be content. Well, no, because faith without works is dead. So that doesn't mean that, you know, if your doctor has stated that you need to lose some weight for health purposes, that you tell him, well, no, I'm going to just stay the way I am. God made me this way. No, no, that wasn't God. That was those pork chops and rice and gravy and all those biscuits and things that you could not pull away from, you know. But you have to know also that there is some work that we have to do. And it doesn't mean to just be content with foolishness. It doesn't mean to just be content with living in a bad neighborhood and having to dodge bullets every day. You can be thankful for where you are now, but you also have to do some work and make a move and make some motion to get away from where it is that you are, the place where you are. Yes, God, I thank you for where I am, but God, show me and give me wisdom and help me to get to this next level, because we have to apply faith in order to make those changes in our lives. Is that correct, Pastor Nick?
That is, and my fellowship heard me say over this past Christmas and Thanksgiving season that we enjoyed the service before going off to eating all the great food that many of us get to enjoy. They heard me say, you know, when you sit down at that table, if the doctor told you not to eat it, don't eat it. Yes, Jesus is a mighty healer. Yes, the Lord holds our bodies together, but he gave us a doctor that said, don't eat it.
So we need to
do what we need to do to keep our machine running the way that it needs to run.
That's right.
And so many individuals take that approach that wants to say, hey, you know, they say be grateful, and I know I should have an attitude of gratitude, so I'm just going to accept this unacceptable situation when the Lord wants us to live a wonderful and awesome life.
That's right.
And do the work that we should do to get to the next level. And while individuals see us doing the work to progress, that also encourages them
Absolutely.
To keep going and to progress.
Absolutely. And Jesus came to give us that life more abundantly, not just to be living and existing here on earth, but he wants us to have that abundant life. So one of the things that we're going to discuss today, if you have your Bibles, you can just kind of go through with us Matthew, the fifth chapter, in talking about the Beatitudes or the blessings that come along with having a certain mindset. There is nothing like looking at a person who is just miserable. They're miserable, they're angry, they're always fussing and cussing and mad at the rest of the world. They don't see anything good or anything right in other people. And the likelihood is that this is not a person who has an attitude of gratitude. Because once you are a person who is just simply thankful for all that God is doing and what God is doing in your life and how he's blessed you, and you're able to verbalize that, you're able to show that in being a good steward for the things that you have, you're able to represent that in being the Christian that you say you are, you know, as Pastor Nick said, not being a lying Christian, but being the person that you say you are. Once you begin to to do that, then it changes your mindset. So you're not sitting around miserable and angry and mad at the rest of the world, and you're mad because everybody else is happy. What you so happy about? You know, you can't smile at somebody, you know, because they're happy and you mad because they're happy because you know, or they're in a relationship and you mad because you don't have one. I don't see what's so good about him. He ain't cute no way. I mean, you know, that foolishness. But the likelihood is once you begin to be more grateful for where God has placed you and you begin to rejoice with that person that's rejoicing because they have a relationship, then God will send you one too. If you begin to rejoice with that person that's happy because they got a new car, God can bless you too. Because what happens is if you act right and if you talk right and you do the things you're supposed to be doing, then you can look at that person and say, now, sister, how did you buy that house? Because my credit is messed up and I need some help in that area. Have you had that experience? Or they may just volunteer and tell you like, hey, look, sis, I was a single mother too. I went through that with my son too. I went through that with my daughter too. Or I went through with my credit. I went through this and that with my job. And that person will help you to get to where you need to be. Instead of you being mad at them, you might stop and realize, while you hating on me, I can tell you how to get to that next level. While you're looking at me. That's right. While you're looking at me and trying to figure out, you know, well, how did she get this and how did she do that? You know, if you knew my story, you wouldn't hate on my glory. But you have to know, too, that there's a cost for this anointing. But like you said, Pastor Nick, I might be able to help you get the tools that you need to be able to come to the next level. But instead, you're busy hating me and being mad at me. And you don't even know the whole story of what I've been through to get there. So now, when Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that we have to remember is that this sermon is all about having your mind and your heart right when you go through. Now, not if you go through, but when you go through. Because is it correct, Pastor Nick? We're all going to have to go through something. It's not going to always be mountaintop season, but it's going to be some valleys. It's not going to always be the sunshine, but we're going to have some rain. Speak to that, Pastor Nick.
And that's something that we have to understand, is that even in the process, no matter how far we go, no matter how much success we're having, there will be a moment where that chapter in our book will be one that is not very pleasant. And we have some obstacles that we have to overcome and get through. And some of it is not always related to us. It may be in relation to someone that's close to us. But we feel for them. Mm-hmm. And so we, in a sense, are going through with them. And some of it we go through and experience on our own. And one of the misconceptions I feel that we don't do a good enough job of teaching within churches is that you will go through. But that's okay. You have Jesus. Absolutely. And since you have Jesus, you will come through it.
That's right.
And we get stuck on the, I'm going through it right now. I get lost in it. I get so down in it that I forget that I'm going to come out of it.
That's
right. And it has to end sometime.
That's right. And as you stated, perilous times will come, but we have to know what to do and we have to know how to behave when this happens. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to even get through the storm, because I don't want to be like the Israelites and steadily walking around this same mountain around here for some years, what should have taken 11 days. I don't want to go through this for 40 years and trying to get it right, you know, and knowing what it is that I need to do to come out of my financial deficit. I don't want to have to keep going through, you know, this heartache and pain in relationships when I need to know how it is that I need to behave and how to act. I don't want to know, I don't want to have to keep going through, you know, dealing with issues with people on my job or issues with my neighbors, or I just can't get along with anybody in my family. You know, I shouldn't have to keep on going through this, because the likelihood is if it's a problem with everybody, like you can't get along with the folks at church and you can't get along with the folks at work and you can't get along with the neighbors and you fussing and cussing at the little kids when they come run across your yard, you know, the likelihood is that it's not every man you meet or every woman that you meet. The likelihood is that because you are the common denominator, it could be some things that you personally might need to change about your life so that you can get to that next level. Yeah, so these are some of the things that Jesus touched on. in that Sermon on the Mount. Now, remember, saints, that now the Bible is our instruction manual. We can't do anything without the Word of God. So just like if you're trying to put together a project or a shelf or a bike or something that you may have purchased at the store, it comes in the box and you need to put it together. Don't leave out the instruction manual because you might find some screws left at the end. And I don't want any loose screws in my shelf. I don't want any loose screws in my bike. And Lord knows I don't want any loose screws in my life.
Because
I don't need anything dangling.
That's right. At the moment that you don't want them to.
That's right. And when they come off, I might get hurt. Something might get damaged. And it's the same thing spiritually, you know, and that's where we need to be. And that's where our focus needs to be. So saints that are listening right now, if you are trying to put your life together and you're not reading God's instruction manual, you may have some screws loose. There may be some things that are missing and there's going to be some lack. There are going to be some deficits in your life and you may end up lonely or miserable or trying to figure out what's missing. You don't have any peace. You don't have any joy. You don't have any hope. It's because you can't do it without Jesus. Yes. You can't do it without his instruction manual. And so we want to help you to understand that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Is that right, Pastor Nick? For every question that you might have.
He is the answer. And there's a blueprint that has been laid out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now looking at the Beatitudes, one of the first thing that the Bible talks about in verse 3 is humility. Scripture lets us know that an humble man is very fortunate. The kingdom of heaven is given unto him. Now, what does it mean to be humble? You know that it's not about you. You know that it's all about Jesus. Is that right, Pastor Nick?
It is. The talents that he gives us, they're to be used for him. And when
That's
we
right.
have those talents, and some have a greater talent than others, and it's a wonderful experience to be a part of that. But we always have to remember that we were not given our talent to tell everybody else how much talent we have.
That's
to go
right.
through the process, and people see it. It's obvious. They show it. You show it with what you how you express it, but it goes with the same line of saying, Lord, I only have this talent because of you, and because of that, I give it back unto you.
That's right. We have to remember that we're blessed to be a blessing.
Yes.
God didn't just bless us with good jobs for us to just stack up our money. No, God blesses us financially so that we help to upbuild the kingdom of God, so that we help to upbuild the church, and we're giving back to the community and helping other people to come along so that they can come in too and be blessed. And it becomes what the system now calls paying it forward. You know, God blesses you to be a blessing to others. And then those other people turn around and are a blessing to others. You know, they talk about it at restaurants, and it was all over social media and all over the news, how people had gone to restaurants like McDonald's and places like that, and they were paying for the meal of the person before them, and this went on and on and on. And God blesses us for that reason, so that we could be a blessing to other people. It's not to hoard and store up all this stuff, because I hear it all the time, and you hear old preachers say, ain't no U-Haul behind that hearse. You can't take it with you. God blesses you to be a blessing unto other people. So now, the next thing in verse 4, the Bible talks about those who mourn are being comforted. In the Amplified Version, it says that you are refreshed by God's grace when you truly repent, and you are comforted by the fact that the burden of sin is lifted. You know, one thing about mourning is it's not just talking about people who are in mourning because of death or people who are in mourning because of loss. But the Bible lets us know that when you come to God with a contrite spirit and you are repentant and you are truly wanting to change and have God to wash you and cleanse you, you don't act the same and you don't look the same. You begin to lower that head when you got your nose all up in the air. You know, all of a sudden you begin to come down and you're like, God, I did do those things. And Lord, I did sin. And God, help me. God, change me. God, help me to make this turn around. Because it does cost you something when you're out there in the world. You get kind of beat up and bruised up. But to be able to just let all that stuff go and to come to God, because you know that he is the true rewarder. You know that he's got something for you. And there is an exchange when you get rid of all that stuff in the world. And the Bible talks about the benefits in Psalm number 108, I believe. The benefits don't forget the benefits of salvation. Sometimes we look at all the things that we're losing or we can't do anymore, but that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about gain. Christianity is about having true life. Christianity is about this new transformation because you begin to look different and walk different and talk different. So sometimes we take that scripture and think that it's just talking about those who are naturally mourning, but no, it's also talking about being repentant because you have to remember that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So you have to make up your mind as to when your mourning is. For some of us, it's been night for a long time. For some of the people who are listening right now, they've been in darkness and in that place of midnight for a long time. But you have to know and understand that it's daybreak when you receive it in your spirit.
Yes.
It's daybreak when you decide to get up and make a change and say, Lord, help me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, change me. Lord, wash me. That's your daybreak. Daybreak doesn't have to be when the natural light comes outside, but when you decide to become renewed and refreshed and give your life to God and let him make those changes for you. Am I right, Pastor Nick?
You're right on it, because with that process of saying that, when I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with, and I've fallen short, and I've done things that I know I should not have done, but the kick within my spirit that says to me, I feel bad about that, is what I take to the Lord.
That's
and that mourning process of saying, I don't want this anymore. But guess what? If we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes the things that we know we don't need, we still want them, and we're still in the process of saying, hey, I'm mourning that.
That's right.
But the Word of God says, you know, you shall be comforted. And what we miss is that the Lord is always there if we remember that he is. We have to remember within ourselves, God is holding me right now.
That's right.
I'm choosing not to feel his presence. I've walked away or I've separated myself maybe, and I don't feel it as strong as I once did. But guess what? He hasn't gone anywhere.
That's right. He has
it's
not.
It's on me to tap back into where I know I should not have left in the first place.
Yes. And we have to remember that because he's such a loving God, once we ask him for forgiveness, God is faithful to forgive us. He's forgiven you and set you free. He's lifted you up from that muck and that mire. He's lifted you up out of your sins. So as the scripture says, you can lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up.
Yes.
You don't have to walk around any longer with your head down. But they used to sing a song where they said, he picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on a solid ground. You have to know that God has done that for you. Once you repent and you have decided to turn away from your sins, you have to know that, wait a minute, Jesus placed my feet on a rock. I'm standing on good ground. Now I'm standing on solid ground. I'm no longer out there in sinking sand and falling away at every wind and every time a little bit of rain comes along. Now that God has made these changes in my life, I'm on solid ground. So that's another reason to be grateful. You don't have to be stuck in what you used to be, saints of God. You don't have to be stuck on, well, you know, I was an old alcoholic. And okay, that's right. And that's your testimony. But remember to tell the good news. The good news is, oh, but God. The good news is, oh, and Jesus came into my life. The good news is Jesus washed me and cleansed me and picked me up and changed my life. We're not still stuck on the what I used to be, but you have to be sure to tell the entire story, and that is all but for the grace of God, all but for the mercy of God. Look at what he has done for me.
About solid ground is that it gives us the ability to adjust our footing. When we're on ground that's not sure, we have to stay right where we are in that spot that we're in, because we don't know where our next step will take us. But when we're on solid ground, if we need to change our position, guess what we can do? We can change our position.
Yes, we can change.
And get always in the direction of going towards God. If my position right now, Lord, I'm going through, guess what? I may need to press in a different way this time to get to you. But since I'm on solid ground, I can do that. I'm not stuck in one same routine. I'm not stuck in one same rut. I can do what I need to do to press into you.
That's right. You can stand fast with the armor of God on. Get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got your foot on some good ground. Well, you know you're not going anywhere. You put on that armor of God and you say, okay, Lord, like Pastor Nick said, I am going through some things. I am dealing with some things, but God, I trust you. God, because you are faithful. God, because you do what you say you're going to do. God, because I know that your word won't return until you void. Lord, I already know I'm going to come out of this thing shiny, like they used to say, like a new penny. I'm going to come out of this thing like pure gold. Because after you get through going through and God has cleansed you and put you where you need to be, like I said, you can begin to speak and to testify and tell somebody else about the goodness of Jesus. So that brings us to verse 5. The world belongs to the meek and the lowly. Mm-hmm. In the Amplified Version, it says that those you're inwardly peaceful, you're spiritually secure, you're worthy of respect for those who are gentle and kind-hearted and have a sweet spirit and have self-control, for they will inherit the earth. When you know how to talk to people, when you know how to treat people, when you know how to just say, baby, it's okay because God delivered me when I was doing the same thing. Or daughter, it's okay. I know that you're not living in the best of situations right now, but when I started out, I didn't either. It's all right when you can say, son, I realize you're struggling right now in school and you're only making C's, but I went through a stage in my life where I wasn't making good grades either. I love you. God loves you. Show me how I can help you. Tell me what it is that you need from me. Do you need me to take some of these chores off of you, son, so that you can spend a little bit more time studying at night? Do you need to cut out some of your other activities or maybe some of the sports and things that you're playing so that you can get your grades together, son? Because it's not just about condemning other people or condemning our children or even condemning the people at work. You know, it's funny that in leadership sometimes we will give a corrective action or write up our employees who come to work late. Mm-hmm. But oh my God. Sometimes we don't think about the fact that we come to work 10 minutes late every day because you rolled over or you were caught in traffic or you were just comfortable and didn't feel like rushing that morning or you didn't get your clothes out the night before. Sometimes we look quickly at the things that other people do, but we forget about how we got a boss too. And our boss is giving us grace for that 10 minutes every day. But sometimes we have to stop and think, okay, maybe this was an extenuating circumstance. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to see what's going on with my employee. Pastors, maybe I need to see what's going on with my church member and help mm-hmm. them and have a conversation with them. Is that right, Pastor Nick?
Yeah, I would say as supervisors, some tend to jump in the business for being late, but do the mm-hmm. inward work to say, but do I start all my meetings on time?
All right now.
Because if I don't start my meetings on time, I'm saying to them that I don't value your time.
And, that's right.
You know, to have people feel that you will be a steward of their time, that mm-hmm. then encourages them to be on time.
That's
because
right.
some things, as Pastor O.D. White used to famously say, some things you mm-hmm. just can't help.
All right.
Sometimes
now.
Some things are going to happen. Sometimes
right.
you will be late. But
yes.
but it goes back to the foundational relationship that's already there that says, okay, let's make an effort to understand the why. Because as parents,
right.
as supervisors, we need to ask the question from time to time, what can I do to help you be successful?
That's right.
Because
that's right.
Their perspective is totally different. They may give some insight, and if we show them that we are humble enough, that we're meek enough to show to them, hey, I don't have all the answers. You
mm-hmm.
have some of the answers also. What can I do for you
Absolutely.
To be successful? And then
Absolutely.
When they give you their perspective of it and you give your perspective, then you can sit back down if the situation still has not been resolved a few weeks down the line and say, hey, now, you said this is what you needed to be successful. Guess what?
Yes.
You were given that to be successful,
mm-hmm.
and we're still not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's some more tweaking that we need to do. But now it goes into a dialogue instead
mm-hmm.
of a fussing match or a battle royal to say, hey, my will is stronger than yours. I will break you and you will lose because everybody won't break.
That's
and
right.
some, when they break, will tear up everybody else when they break.
That's right. Or they'll end up leaving and you didn't accomplish anything.
Yes. And now you're starting all over.
Mm-hmm.
To trying to get
mm-hmm.
somebody going and that was
that's, right.
that's already on the level that they were at before they left. So. Now, we
that
need to have
right.
that conversation, have that dialogue that goes with it. And people see in us what they see the value in what we value and how we treat them and how
That's
we
right.
treat everybody else around us.
That's right. That's right. And that is absolutely what will come out. So for our listeners, again, you can call in to give your perspective on this attitude of gratitude. That number is 888-627-6008. But if no one calls in, Pastor Nick, we're going to press forward. So one of the things also that Jesus talked about is in verse 6, happy are those who long to be just and good, for they shall be completely satisfied. You know, yeah. The one thing for sure is if you are actively seeking to be in right standing with God, not just because it's convenient for right now, not just because, you know, now this is every day except for Friday night, because I got to be at happy hour on Friday night. But when you're actively seeking righteousness and truly seeking to be like God, you know, I can personally, you know, attest to it does cause you to be more happy. It does mm-hmm. cause you to have a different stride or a different walk, because your mind is on some other things. Your mind is not on garbage. Your mind is not on what he said or what she did or what they think about me. But when you are truly seeking to be right with God, your mind is on, okay, Lord, now what can I do to help to build up your kingdom? Now, Lord, what can I do? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I help? Who can I encourage on today? You are looking for things to do to get yourself together and to help somebody else along the way. Am I right, Pastor Nick?
You're exactly right. You're looking to help people. You're looking to be a blessing. You're looking for a situation to serve somebody. You're looking for an opportunity to show somebody else the love of God through the work that your hands do.
That's right.
And that satisfaction of saying, hey, you know what, I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the right reasons. I'm doing it because God said do it. That covers so much stuff.
That's
you
know right.
That we should be filled, right?
That's
when we
right.
hunger and thirst after righteousness.
If we're
called, we say we're children of God, then mm-hmm. we should want to act like and look like a child of God.
That's right. That's right. And then now with that goes along to verse 7 as well. Happy are the kind and the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. We pray, you know, as we pray, most of us pray the model prayer that Jesus gave. And we pray and say, forgive us our debts as we forgive mm-hmm. our debtors. You know, one thing about forgiveness is that you have to forgive other people if you want God to forgive you.
Yeah.
A lot of times we ask God to forgive us, but we're holding unforgiveness towards somebody else. We're mad about some stuff that they did 10 years ago, and half of us don't even remember what it was that we were mad about. But if you want to really be truly and content with your own life, you have to show mercy to other people. You have to give forgiveness to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
yes.
say one thing and do another. You're saying, well, God, forgive me, you know, but you can't forgive your own relative or friend or the neighbor, you know, who accidentally came across your yard with the lawnmower and they got the zigzag on one side and some other stuff going on. Now you got to keep cutting your yard because they cut theirs so low it's brown.
Yeah.
Some of y'all don't know anything about that because I'm just a country girl at heart, I have to say. but we have to remember, is that right, Pastor Nick, that we want God to do some things for us and we have to remember to do those things for other people as well.
That is, and it goes also in leadership training with pastors and their staff and with congregation
mm-hmm.
and members. When you talk to you know, that situation of showing mercy, you know, it, you say to individuals, if you want to be hard-nosed and tough and by the book, by letter of the law all the time without the benefit of the doubt,
mm-hmm.
guess what? The moment that you need or you want the benefit of the doubt, it will
yes.
not be there for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because people will return to you how you treated them over the years.
That's
and
right.
There are some situations to where it's unfortunate. We don't like it. We didn't agree with what they've done. But guess
yes.
what? It's okay to say you didn't do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You didn't wreck it on purpose. That's okay.
That's right.
And showing that mercy now gives that person the kick that they need to keep going and go out. I don't forget in the position I was in once, I was in in charge of finances and booking trips and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
and negotiated a contract that I had one understanding, but I had the wrong understanding,
mm-hmm.
and it ended up costing several thousand dollars.
Wow.
That's a several thousand dollar mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is a lot of money that the company's out of. And mm-hmm. and the supervisor, the boss, the top man, when I reported to him what took place,
mm-hmm.
the response was, thank you for telling me. Thank you for being honest. This is a great teaching lesson. Experience comes through making mistakes.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. So because we've all messed up before.
Yes.
That allows we've all had those moments.
My head and keep going.
Yes. That's right.
Because I was ready to say, I'm resigning. I'm tired.
Right.
I'm sorry. Please don't. You know, and I'm falling, you know, with my hat in my hand. And
yes.
the person that had all the power says, you know what? You didn't do it.
That's
on purpose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. And I thank God for doing that for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Who do we have on the line today?
This is Carrie Sinners, and I'm so excited. I'm pressing
Amen.
Yeah, I'm so excited that the topic that you are discussing today, Pastor Nick, and the Prophet Kemba, I'm so proud of you two that
Amen.
God has led you into being on a radio show to discuss God's word. Now, your
Amen.
Topic was being an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I lately since I've been older, I do thanks all the time. I tell a lot of people, you know, like someone called me yesterday and said they had been so depressed and they took a nerve pill, but they felt so awful after, and I said, don't take it, just pray. I go to bed at night just mm-hmm. praying. I just thank God for everything. I just thank him for the air that I breathe.
Yes.
You know, the Holy
Amen.
Spirit came to me one day, and I was sitting on my couch, how many things I could thank him for, and I could
All
just
right.
say thank you for everything, but I named the things. I thank him
All
for
right.
the flowers and the trees, because I'm able to see them, able to smell the flowers and the oxygen
yes.
in the trees.
God yes.
created
yes.
this whole universe, and he has given us so much, and sometimes we take everything, you know, that, you know, just take it, not meaning thinking it worth much, but
mm-hmm.
it is so wonderful to see the generation of you two on the radio discussing God's word and trying to help somebody in their Christian life. Now, I just think I've been thanking God for you two. I pray for you every day. Call out your name, your children's name. And,
Amen.
But I just thank God for you. But you can't thank God enough. You can't give him enough praises. You know, on Sunday, I'm not quiet at church. I just give him praises all the time. You know, because I know what God has done for me. And I
yes.
know how he has brought me. And so I know how he will help others. And I'm
yes.
praying for my kids, my grandkids. And I talk to them about prayer. I said, you ask God for everything. You talk to God just like you're talking to another person. He knows your heart. He has
yes.
an understanding of your whole life. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. And you can't thank him enough. And you
yes.
always got to help others. Always got to say nice things about others. Encourage
that's
other
right.
people.
So
that's you
right.
want to forgive others like God forgive you.
Yes.
And
that's
I'm
going
to stop talking because I talk all day. But thank you all so much for the radio show. It's so enlightening. And I expect to hear you the very next time.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in. Again, listeners, that was Carrie Stennis from Preston, Mississippi. Thank God for her. And now she is absolutely correct, Pastor Nick, when she says that, you know, she just begins to thank God for everything. And to our listeners, you know, that's what is required. Is that right, Pastor Nick? We have to
yeah.
thank God for everything. Even when we think that the situation looks bleak or it looks dim, we have to just thank God for who he is and what he has done. Is that right?
That is right. I had a moment in my life where it was one night again. I have three sons, and I was walking through the house one night, and it was early in the morning to get a drink of water, you know, those moments that you have. And
mm-hmm.
I stepped on a Hot Wheel
Ooh.
Car. And, you know, of course, it hurt my foot. And so I say,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't yell out because everybody's asleep. But I went from stepping on the car and feeling pain to saying, thank you, God, because I can feel the pain. Because in my life,
uh-huh.
I've had a moment where I've had to relearn how to walk, relearn how to
All
move.
Right.
I've been laid paralyzed and felt nothing. And here I am now, I feel the pain. That means my body's working. That means my nerves are firing. That means my brain knows what's going on. That means I know right where I am and what I'm going through. So thank you, God, for giving me that touch of pain to remind me that there was a moment where I wished I could have it.
That's right. And here I am with it. That right. And that, Pastor Nick, brings us to the close of our show. I want to say to our listeners, always keep your mind on Jesus and always keep your mind on upper level things. You know, take your mind out the gutter, get your mind off of garbage and things that are not even necessary to be concerned about. But put your mind on Jesus and about doing what it is that God would have you to do. Have your thoughts and conversations and attitudes lined up with the Word of God. And as Pastor Nick has stated, be who it is that we say we are. Don't be a lying Christian. Pastor Nick, thank you so much for joining us. To our listeners, if you're looking for a church home in the Jackson, Mississippi area, please stop by the Wordful Gospel Church at 3023 Percy V. Simpson. If you are in the area of Hickman, Kentucky, please stop by Pleasant Hill to see Pastor Nick and his church family over there. If you want to donate to Campbell Ministries, you can click on the donate button on the website, or you can also write into us at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi 39236. Join us again in 2 weeks for our next show. God bless you, and God keep you is our prayer.